Station 2, San Jose Avenue.
From our 901 Mission Street studios, you are listening to the San Francisco Chronicle.
Welcome to Datebook Podcast. I'm Peter Hartlob, here with San Francisco Chronicle reporter Sam Whiting. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you.
Our guest today is Glenn McCoy, longtime executive director of the San Francisco Ballet, who made a big announcement at the beginning of the season.
Glenn McCoy announced that he was retiring at the end of the season, which came as something of a shock because he was only 60 and giving up one of the great jobs in the arts in San Francisco or anywhere.
Yeah, well, he talks about that in this episode. But I wanted to ask you, Sam, when I think of Sam Whiting's stories, I think of the town crier, I think of that great story you did about the poet laureate of San Mateo County. But you're covering ballet today. What interested you in McCoy and ballet to write the stories that you wrote about him earlier in the season?
Well, I have a certain attraction to the ballet because it's like hearing a concert, being able to see something on the stage that moves. And I like the athleticism of it. And I also like how that huge, labor-intensive organization functions with all those dancers and orchestra members. And they run a school, and they have all those patrons to please all the time. So I got interested in following Glenn around at his last gala.
McCoy talks about his future plans, which include a long walk on the Camino de Santiago through Europe. And he looks back. McCoy shares one of the biggest disasters in ballet history, which is an objectively hilarious moment. Datebook Podcast, thanks for listening.
We're here with Glenn McCoy, who's the outgoing executive director the San Francisco Ballet, and when I say outgoing, I mean out the door this week, June 28th, I believe, is your
That's
last
it.
Day, Glenn. So my first question to you is going to be, why give up this great job?
It is a great job, but 31 years, I think it's time to move on, maybe do something different.
Why don't you tell us what an executive director does and what an executive director does not do at the San Francisco Ballet?
Well, I tell people that I make sure they get paid on time. So a ballet company has an artistic director, handles all things artistic, and then the executive director handles the business side. So at San Francisco Ballet, that would make me responsible for all of the contracting, scheduling, marketing, press, fundraising, all of that.
And you do or do not dance?
I do not dance.
You've never danced?
In my living room.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you landed with this job?
I actually trained as an actor, but pretty quickly got into management right after college. I moved to New York, like everybody else who thought they were going to be an actor. But I got part-time work at the Metropolitan Opera in the marketing department, and I just loved it. So I decided I was going to bag the acting career and just pursue a career in administration. And I was in marketing until the San Francisco Opera hired me in 1986. So after being the advertising manager at the Met, where a lot of what I did was promote American Ballet Theatre's Met season and any of the big international ballet companies that came through, I really fell in love with ballet. And so when the new management team at San Francisco Ballet invited me to cross Franklin Street, I was happy to do that.
You glossed over my favorite part of your whole resume. When you said you went to college, you didn't say where, Glenn.
Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina.
I take it they don't have a dance major there, or do they?
It was part of the PE department, so I had to take dance class in order to get my degree, but let's just say I didn't have a gift for it.
So ballet is probably the most labor intensive, to my mind, of all the art forms, because it involves both on stage act and a full orchestra, correct? Why don't you tell us how many people, who does what, and what it takes to put on a ballet?
So currently, San Francisco Ballet is about a $58 million operation per year. And so we do have our own orchestra, one of the great ballet orchestras in the country. We have 49 tenured players, but we play with an average of about 65 players. Depends on the instrumentation. And then there are probably about 75 professional dancers. Then, of course, you've got a school with almost 400 students enrolled, and a big staff.
It's a lot of people to put on just one ballet, right?
That's right.
More so than anything else you've experienced? More so than opera?
Not necessarily. Opera's a pretty big operation, too. One of the things I loved about being in a ballet company, though, was the fact that it's a resident company of artists. I was used to, at the Met, you know, the big opera stars coming in just for a few weeks, but then they were gone. But here, you know, our stars are with us all the time.
They live here.
They live here.
Very interesting. And so your talent, and this is no small talent, this might be the biggest talent involved, is shaking the trees for money. My understanding is you took it from a $30 million budget to a $55 million budget now. How have you managed to accomplish that? What's your secret?
Well, it's taken 3 decades, of course, but we always lead with the art. And ever since Helgi became artistic director in 1985, I think he's really been pushing our audiences. He's certainly pushing our artists. And I would say that San Francisco now probably has one of the most sophisticated audiences for dance in the country. And I think that sort of drive and ambition coming from the artistic team is what really has mobilized the community to support San Francisco Ballet.
And you also take it on the road, in which case you have to promote it in all these other countries and cities. How does that work?
We're a big company, so we don't do a lot of touring. We probably do 2 or 3 weeks of touring per year, but we just came back from 2 weeks in London, which was very exciting. We took the entire company. We did 12 different ballets, and all of them were UK premieres. We played at Sadler's Wells Theatre, where they really put an emphasis on commission work. And so they love seeing San Francisco Ballet come in and see choreographers that they don't get very often in London.
Why is it important, from our point of view, for the San Francisco Ballet to tour internationally and nationally?
Well, you know, I think we're a little geographically challenged, at least in the dance field, being on the West Coast. We have to, I think, work harder to attract artists and keep them here. Typically, a ballet dancer might be based in New York or London, and they can pretty easily get to other companies. They do more guesting, that sort of thing. In order for us to attract the best talent, we have to have a strong touring program. We had to do pretty sexy touring in order to keep dancers interested. And it also helps build the international reputation. You can't really be an international player in ballet if you're not seen.
And do you go to every performance here when the ballet season is on?
Not every performance. I do try to see every cast.
So that would be how many performances a year, would you say? A season?
Oh, boy. Let's see. I see 3 or 4 performances of each of our 8 programs. And God knows how many nutcrackers I've seen.
And do you have personal favorites?
Of course.
You're going to tell us what they are?
Of course not.
Tell me about the Nutcracker. You're coming up on an anniversary.
San Francisco Ballet was the first American company to produce the full-length Nutcracker in 1944. And so we'll be celebrating the 75th anniversary of that first American Nutcracker.
Do you remember your first day on the job at the San Francisco Ballet?
I do.
What happened?
I actually had just left the opera and had been hired by the marketing director to edit a souvenir book for a tour to Asia that the company was going on. And so I remember I didn't have a desk or a phone. I was sort of walking around with a clipboard. I still have the clipboard. Trying to gather all the photos and information I needed in order to put this book together. But I immediately liked the people I was working with.
How important are personal relations between you and your board members?
You know, I think the personal relationships you build, you know, with every part of the company are critical to making the work happen and to actually enjoying what I do. So I've enjoyed more than three decades of a very supportive board, very generous with their time and their resources. I think, you know, when they brought Helgi in, it really said something about the vision they had for the ballet. I'm not sure even they understood how successful the company would become, but I know that they're very, very proud.
And I know this because I watched you do it. You, at the opening, walk around with envelopes every year, correct?
Right.
Why don't you explain that to us?
Well, it's a little bit of a personal touch. I write a little note to the major sponsors of the event so that they know that they're welcome and how much their support means to us.
And what do you foresee happening on your last day at work?
That's a good question. Right now, it's blocked out for a lunch and to clean up 30 years of stuff. It's not going very quickly.
Where will all that stuff go?
A lot of it will go to our new place up in Sonoma, but a lot of it will go to the archives.
And when you disappear up to Sonoma to grow these tomatoes, who's going to fill your shoes at the ballet?
Well, I am very excited that they have Kelly Tweedale coming in. Kelly has a solid background in orchestra and opera management. She was with the Seattle Opera for a long time, and now she's at the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra. And I think she's going to be a terrific fit.
What are going to be the big challenges going forward for the ballet?
Well, I think the same for many arts institutions. You know, we're working through some transition in how audiences consume the work. More and more, they're looking to engage digitally. So I think all of us are watching trends, declining audiences. So I think we have to continue to look for ways to remain relevant. That's why we're doing so much in the community these days. Because again, it comes down to relationships, and we need the ballet to be something that everybody in San Francisco feels welcome at.
Are we to assume then that, like everything else, the kids will be watching ballet on their phones?
They do already, but I think all of us in the performing arts, we have to get better at telling the story of the power of the communal experience of live performance.
I've always wondered if there are any major fiascos on stage. I never happen to see any when I'm there, but I bet if you go there four casts perform every show, you've seen some.
I have. Well, there was one a few years ago in a performance of Giselle. There are two dogs that come on in the first act, and I'm not telling tales out of school since I think it was in the Chronicle, but apparently they became amorous on stage, and the cast couldn't get them apart. And so after that, Helgi determined that there would only be one dog on stage at a time.
Did the fire department have to come in with the hoses to get the dogs apart?
They should have done.
Why don't you tell us about what your plans are for retirement?
Well, I have given myself the first 6 months to not make any commitments, so I will be moving to Sonoma full-time next weekend. And one thing that I have scheduled is I'm going to walk the Camino de Santiago across northern Spain. It'll take me about 5 weeks. It's 800 kilometers.
And so I have in my hand an item that you're carrying around with you. Why don't you explain what this item is?
Yeah, my marketing team produced these seed packets of tomato seeds with my name on it, and so that everybody can plant tomatoes. I jokingly told my board chair, Carl Pascarello, when I told him last summer that I was not going to be renewing my contract. He said, "Oh, but you're still young. You know, what are you going to do up in Sonoma?" I didn't know what to say, so I said, "I'm going to grow tomatoes." So actually, you wrote about it, Sam. Now it's become an urban legend, and I'm worried that people think I'm growing them commercially because everyone asked. So the marketing team came up with these tomato seed packets.
Well, thank you, Glenn, but for the record, I wrote about them twice.
Then it's your fault.
Thank you, Glenn McCoy, outgoing executive director of the San Francisco Ballet.
You are listening to the San Francisco Chronicle. Thank you to Sam Hurwit and our guest, Glenn McCoy. Our producer today is me, Peter Hartlob. Supervising producers are King Kaufman and Libby Coleman. Executive producer is Tim O'Rourke, and our editor-in-chief is Audrey Cooper. Our music is Midnight Special by Ease Jammy Jams. Read our columns and subscribe to The Chronicle at www.sfchronicle.com. Chronicle podcasts are on Apple Podcasts and other streaming services. Listen at www.sfchronicle.com/podcasts with an S.